XV Planus is part of the Green Mushroom Podcast Network.
Welcome to XV Planus.
Greetings, friends and fiends, and welcome back to XV Planus, the podcast where we don't just talk about the paranormal, we put boots on the ground and pursue it in the field. Transmitting from the Black Lodge, as always, I am your host, Flood, and as always, I am very excited to be back here to dive further into the unexplained, the highly strange, and the everything in between with you all. We'll return to our coverage of our 2023 investigation of the Uinta Basin next week, where we'll talk about the first few days on location, but tonight I am pleased to present to you a special bonus episode featuring an exclusive interview with Courtney Swihart and Aaron Deese of Small Town Monsters and the Hey Strangeness podcast to talk about all of the exciting things we can expect from our favorite independent production company this year. And we'll get to that conversation here in just a moment, right after this brief message from our good friend and occasional co-conspirator, Rich Haddam.
Hey, Richard Haddam here. You've probably heard me on Astonishing Legends, but now I have a podcast of my own, Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf, where I talk about all the books I love, the stories behind them, and how they made me who I am. The first time I read the Amityville Horror, I felt like I knew the Lutz family. George brooding and moody, Kathy paranoid and somehow guilty, the boys fighting like savages, Missy hanging out with a ghost pig named Jody. Maybe that's the part I identified with the most. Not the pig. The feeling that they were all losing their minds. That's when I learned there are basically six stages in the life of every parapsychologist. Curiosity, investigation, doubt, acceptance, James Randi, and depression. A hole opened up in the wall of his apartment, and an insect-like being, the size of a tall man, but in the form of an enormous praying mantis, stepped through. Odd, even for New York. We're leaving the highway now. Have you noticed the paved off-ramp we took has turned to a gravel path, and now a dirt road, and now nothing at all? Have you noticed how quickly the sun sets here? It's too late to turn back now. Everything's closed for the night. Why not sit down? I'll light a fire. There's a story I need to tell you. I'm inviting you all to join me on Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf. Come for the books, stay for the frankly surprising amount of oversharing.
All right, friends and fiends, it is my great pleasure to welcome Courtney and Aaron from Small Town Monsters. Guys, thank you guys so much for coming to join and talk about all the exciting stuff that you guys have coming down the pipeline this year. It looks like it's going to be a big year for Small Town Monsters. Before we go barreling too far into that, I was wondering if we could talk just a little bit about the history of Small Town Monsters for any of my listeners who might not be familiar with it, although at this point, chances are they are.
Yeah, so Seth Breedlove started Small Town Monsters. We're coming up on our 10th anniversary here from the release of Minerva Monster. So I think in production's 10 years now, but release schedule 10 years is next year. And we are a small independent documentary company out of Ohio that does the strange and unusual cryptid documentaries. And we now have 8 or 9 employees at this point spread across the country from California to New Hampshire. And Aaron down in Texas, we got some in Tennessee and Ohio. So I'm just trying to do our best to make entertaining episodic and long form content independently for people to enjoy.
It's been amazing to watch you guys grow because I've been a fan since way back in the day, and seeing just how in the last couple of years it's exploded. I mean, you guys really have a roster now. And that includes our friend Aaron here. We just had you on recently to do the commentary with Rich Haddam for Mothman Prophecies.
That was so much fun.
And hopefully we'll have you on to do one for the Texas Dogman Triangle here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, dude, STM has been tremendously influential.
No influenza on this show, please.
No, none. To me, specifically, because I started as a fan back in 2019, just watching the documentaries that were available online, and became addicted very, very quickly, and then kind of started working with the crew when the publishing branch got going with the Texas Dogman Triangle. And I forgot where I was going with that, but it's great. It's been great.
It certainly put a smile on your face. You have blossomed in the last year, my friend.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thank you. You are somebody who has been a friend and a supporter since I started dabbling in this stuff. So I appreciate that greatly.
Absolutely. We got to take care of our own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about this Kickstarter. You guys have a campaign rolling out right now to get funding for this year's slate. And it looks like you guys have already hit your goal, haven't you?
We've hit the base goal. We do have a stretch goal, which we're hoping to hit. It is a bit lofty. I think it's the highest one we've done, but it's also the best stretch goal we've ever done. It's a full extra film that everyone will get digitally. And for the first time ever, anyone that gets physical rewards will get a physical copy of the movie. We've never done that before. So it's basically a full extra title. And it's a lake monster title. So classically difficult to document and film and, you know, tell the story of. And we had Eli up in British Columbia looking for Okapogo, or the lake of the monster of lake. Say it for me, Aaron. I always say it wrong.
Okanagan.
Okanagan.
That's probably not the most accurate way to pronounce it, but that's as close as I can get.
But we have lots of other really cool rewards this year that are exclusive to the campaign. You don't get them at the campaign. You're never going to get them, including a hardcover of Mr. Deese's new book coming out.
Ooh.
Hunting Grounds. Yeah. We have a really cool zip-up hoodie and t-shirt that you're not going to get anywhere else. A Jean St. Jean statue, which is of the Goat Man this year. And a really cool art print, which has Okapogo in it. So we're trying to really give our backers something unique that they're not going to get anywhere else ever again.
Mm-hmm. You have me at Okapogo.
It's a really unique reward slate compared to what we've done before. And I say we, even though this is the first campaign I've been actively involved in, because we've done the books before, but then having a whole extra movie, like Courtney said, I'm just really excited about it, you know, from a fan standpoint. Very excited.
Well, it definitely sounds like there's going to be some great benefits to joining that campaign. And for all of you listening, if you check the show notes right now, you will see a link to go to the Kickstarter campaign. I'm donating. I definitely suggest that all of you do as well. So please, please do this, because they're definitely part of our community. We love what they do and can't wait to see what's coming down the pipeline. The film slates for this year, what do we have to look forward to that you can talk about at least?
We can talk with all of them. They've all been announced on our live stream when we kicked off the Kickstarter. So with Aaron's book coming out, we also have a movie that goes with it. So it's Hunting Grounds and the book, and Dogman Territory is the movie. So that's Hunting for Werewolves in Land Between the Lake, Kentucky. We have On the Trail of Bigfoot, The Ancients, which is going to be our Bigfoot movie for the year, which is going to be in the Great Smoky Mountains. So Gatlinburg area somewhat, but more remote. We have
Lost Contact,
which is the Thomas Mantell story, who is the only confirmed pilot shot down by UFO. And he's a military fighter pilot. So it's a pretty big deal. And we actually have his grandsons in the film. So this is a family endorsed documentary of him. And the very final one is Cryptid the Goat Man, which is documenting Goatman sightings through several states.
I've been really looking forward to you guys tackling Goatman, so I'm super excited about that one.
Yeah. Heather championed that one, I think. So she was all about the Goatman.
Cryptid the Goatman is a follow-up to 2023's Cryptid Chupacabra, which is exclusively available to Kickstarter backers. That's the important thing about that movie. Let me see if I can get this to stick. It will be just for backers. The Cryptid series is a backer exclusive for the time being. So that's another exclusive thing you get with this one, is that film.
Eventually be out for a wider audience, but if you want to see it anytime soon, you got to be a backer. Otherwise, you're going to be waiting for quite a while. Because, again, we want to treat our backers. Not only do they get every single title digitally before anyone else does, they're the first ones to get them in the mail. I physically mail out all of our stuff. I mail our Kickstarter backer stuff before the pre-orders. So they 100% get everything first. And for the Cryptid series, they get it a very long time ahead of anyone else.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to those and crossing my fingers that maybe somewhere down the pipeline you'll do one on my home state favorite, the Rougarou.
We did Skinwalker Hell of the Rougarou 2-3 years ago.
I don't think I've seen that one. I'm a terrible fan. I'm going to
write that down. Hey, man, it's hard to keep up.
It really is.
Was that 2020? 2019? I think it was filmed in 2019, out in 2020.
I think you're right.
Because that was the first film that I was getting cuts to do notes on before it came out. So that had to be 2020 it came out.
I remember being really hyped on that one. And it's a great movie. It's kind of the, if you look at the Small Town Monsters Dogman universe, as I like to put it, it's Bray Road Beast, Skinwalker Howl of the Rougarou, and then what am I forgetting? American Werewolves. And then
American
it goes
Werewolves
into,
and then your movies and now yeah, American Dog Werewolves Triangle, 2.
American Werewolves 2 and yeah. Yeah, so there's like two Dogman trilogies. Trilogies.
Right.
What's about Rougarou 2 is within a couple months of them filming down there, there was a hurricane, I believe, and the town that they filmed in was flattened. So we made sure to send everyone that we interviewed like copies of the movie because that's kind of the only way they could see their home as it was before this natural disaster. And Heather, who is our researcher and helps us get our interviews, she forms friendships with all these people. Like she really makes sure that she makes a bond with them. And she was checking on these people like daily or weekly to be like, do you have power back yet? Are you okay? Did your mom get out all right? So she still talks with a lot of those people because she was speaking with them through that traumatic process and really became very good friends with a lot of them. But if you want to see that particular area of Louisiana, how it was prior to that incident, that was like the last thing that was filmed down there that we're aware of because it was less than a month later.
Briefly to backtrack onto this whole Dogman thing, Aaron, I think you and I have briefly talked about this at one point or another, but now we'll turn this into a group discussion.
Yeah.
Is it just me, or are we seeing like a pretty dramatic increase in Dogman type sightings over like the last 8 years or so?
110%. Yeah. And I think that could be due to a number of things. This is actually something I get to talk about in both of my books, but more so in the upcoming one because it's really reaching a fever pitch. I think there's more interest in this topic now. I know there is because there's books and films and tons of podcasts about it, whereas there were not 10, 12 years ago.
Right.
So I think that in and of itself has people looking out for it. And we can debate the nature as to whether or not this sighting or that sighting is legitimate or whatever, you know. But I think just the interest has a lot to do with it.
All right. So, you know me, like since I've taken this journey, I've kind of dabbled into everything. If it's weird, if it's paranormal, if it's cryptid, whatever, like I'm into all of it. And I noticed that probably like 3 years ago. And it was right before, it was before you even started talking about the book, working on the book. But yeah, I've just seen this bizarre increase in focusing on the Dogman in particular. And it does make me wonder if it's, you know, collective unconsciousness kind of thing or Valet's passport to Magonia theory, somewhat correct, but instead of seeing fairies, now we're seeing dogmen.
Yeah. And that's one line of speculation. I could eat the hour going on about this, but
we'll save that for a special episode.
Yeah, we will. But I think there's an idea to something like the collective unconsciousness that we see this archetype pop up all throughout history in different cultures and different time periods. And werewolves, dogmen, wolfmen, upright canids are portrayed differently in most incarnations. There are a lot of consistencies. They're generally not regarded as being good guys. But why does this archetype pop up all over the globe? If the answer is not werewolves are real, you know, then it's coming from somewhere. There's a root to it. So, yeah.
Yeah. According out of 10 years of doing this, of Small Town Monsters, of the documentaries, of all the adventures going on to make these things, something that I've always wanted to ask the crews, have y'all personally ever had anything weird happen to you while you're out in the field researching this stuff?
So I have two serious stories and one funny one. kind of the more serious ones are, Seth had a sighting 2 years ago when he was filming Bigfoot Project, and I didn't see it, but I was filming him as he saw it. So I was adjacent to his Bigfoot sighting, and I was in the back of this gator filming him and the property owner driving around hanging up trail cams. And all of a sudden Seth is yelling stop and bailing out of a moving vehicle and running down this ditch and up this hill. So
didn't he injure himself? Like, didn't he hurt his ankle or something?
He didn't, but I don't know how he didn't, because we were on an incline and it was perilous. So I was kind of adjacent to that. Back when we were shooting Sasquatch Unearthed the Ridge, which was season one, we were on the Chestnut Ridge. Bigfooting was what we were supposed to be doing. Turns out we went there and then everyone was seeing orbs, including Zach, who is our director of photography, who is very much known as a skeptic. He's there for the filmmaking. And he's also our graphic designer. So he's very serious when it comes to the filming, and he's there to do the job. And we split up, we come back together, and he's like smoking and shaking. And did you see it? Because he had seen what he thought was a pickup truck, because it was a red light and a white light, headlight, tail light. And then he got up to it and they'd moved together and disappeared. And that night everyone was seeing lights in the woods. We don't know what they were for sure, but it's like we'd walk toward them and people watching us walk toward them would see us getting closer to the lights, but we would get to a point and the light would be gone. So like Seth and I went after a light at one point, and on the radio we said, well, we got this close and it's gone. And they're like, no, we can still see it in front of you. And we're like, well, we're right here and we can't see it now. And that went on for like 3 hours. Like, it wasn't an isolated incident. There was probably a dozen people in the woods split up into small groups. And it was just constant. And it got to the point where it's like, all right, there's all these lights, but we can't get close to them. This is really bizarre. And then a funny thing that happened in British Columbia, everyone makes fun of me for this, but we were out. Everyone was a big crew there. Alexander Petikoff was with us. Eli was there. Eli Watson, Mark Madsky. It was the whole crew, because we were doing two movies and a couple series up there. And we were out in the woods and we went down this drive and we got to the point where there was like a gate, and it was like, this is public land, but there's a gate. So we go under the gate and we walk down this road because we were seeing something on the thermal. I got turned around in the dark looking through my camera, because I work as a cinematographer on the shoots, and you get night blind looking through a camera and then looking up. And I thought that there was either a cop there or a bear, and I didn't want to get arrested in a foreign country. So I started yelling, we need to go, guys, we need to go. Everyone thought I was like scared of a bear, but Alex was really far away. And I was like, get Alex, we gotta go. And Alex is like, I got bear spray. I'm like, we don't need bear spray, we gotta go. Turns out it was just Jason Udis back at the car. And I had not realized what direction I was facing. But I thought we were about to be arrested in Canada.
That is hysterical. But I suppose, you know, better that than being eaten by a Sasquatch. The lights in the forest, I got to tell you, that rings a bell for me, because that sounds almost exactly what we were experiencing with the Brown Mountain lights up here in Asheville. Speaking of which, we're going to be doing 4 expeditions for the Brown Mountain lights this year, and open invite if you guys decide to make your way over to North Carolina if you want to join us. We've had a lot of success connecting with them, but it was very much like what you said, Courtney, like it just didn't stop. Like, once it started, they kept moving around and kept reacting and playing with us, and eventually got to the point that we were like, man, even I'm tired. Okay, like, we're done. Just go away, lights.
Yeah, we're not, I mean, when I say us, I mean like Ohio crew, like Alex and Eli, they go all night, but the rest of us are like, we're going to go at dusk. We got, you know, a handful of hours, but we're not pulling this till like 5 a.m. or anything. So we're at dusk, and like as soon as the sun dipped far enough, it's like constant. It's like, all right, we've seen this, and we heard a tree knock that night. We did hear a couple Bigfooty things, but it was just sounds. But the stuff that we physically saw was on, was the lights, and we had a bunch of thermals going and other cameras, and some of the footage you could kind of see some of it, but it was also like people walking, so it was shaky and hard to see because we were just using handy cams out there to get the night vision. Which you always go back and review the footage and you're like, oh, I wish I would have just walked a little bit slower.
Right. You know, yeah, I eventually, after the first few field trips that I, or field investigations I did, I ended up getting one of the weighted things that you can strap on. So it's like steady cam. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It has helped considerably. All right. So what else is going on in the Small Town Monsters world? We have Monster Fest 2 coming up this year.
Yeah. So, June 28th, 29th, Monster Fest has become my baby a bit. I am the event planner for it as well. So it is, Monster Fest 1 was a huge undertaking. And when it was over, I told myself, it's done. We've done it. It's in the past. And then people liked it so much that the boys insisted we do it again. So we are indeed doing it again. This year we've added stuff to it, which I'm pretty excited about. So the 28th, which is the Friday, we're still doing our premiere at the Canton Palace Theater, which I don't know if we've said this yet, but I'm going to say it now. It's going to be Okapogo.
Yes.
And along with that, to make it more of like a half day on Friday, we're doing a Q&A panel, not only with the STM crew, but with a bunch of our guests. So people will be able to ask questions. Our higher VIP level is then going to have the opportunity to do a meet and greet with us and the guests after the Q&A. And that Q&A will be open to whatever questions you want to ask. It doesn't have to be Okapogo related, because obviously a lot of the people that are coming are more Bigfoot or UFO people. So you can come and ask them whatever your heart desires. And then during Monster Fest, we're still doing the speakers, the live podcast, the movie screenings. We have the vendor hall, food trucks this year, which is an improvement from last year. I heard everyone say they were hungry and couldn't get food fast enough. There's going to be food trucks. And a new thing we're doing, which Mr. Deese is a part of, is workshops. So yeah. I like the idea of show and tell, and I wanted to bring that so that there's actual demonstrations. So we have like Amy Boo from Ohio is going to be showing you how to cast a footprint. Mike Ann, known as Tactical Bigfoot, is going to show you how to do DNA and evidence collection in the woods properly. Aaron and Heather are going to do a documenting the unknown workshop. Kind of, if you want to write or research something, here are some tips and tricks. I have Joe from Team Spectre, Joe Dutt, is going to do a ghost hunting equipment demonstration and going over techniques that he uses. So I'm trying to broaden it interest-wise a little bit. And also just, it's so nice when you hear something, but to also see what they're talking about.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree. The further down this rabbit hole I got into, and the more I got into like the actual, you know, the research side of it and the field investigation, it quickly spins out of control from being a hobby into becoming like this pit you just can't get out of, because there's so much to learn and there's so much to pick up on. I've been field investigating for 5 years now, and I can tell you that I don't know a damn thing. I still get evidence, but I still don't know a damn thing.
Don't know what it is or what it means.
Oh, hell no.
Well, and on the weird side, I forgot, Wild and Weird West Virginia is going to be doing a workshop on their equipment, because if you follow those guys at all, they're a little bit of everything. They have super cool equipment that they've invested in and put together. So they're going to be bringing some of their toys and showing kind of what they can do. And, you know, they look for everything. So that's going to be definitely a multi kind of interest lecture as well.
That's going to be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to the workshop concept. I think that's going to be a blast. And, you know, of course, you know, shameless self-promotion here. You got into the vendor hall, you're going to find XV Planets hanging out there, and we will probably be streaming from the throughout the entire day. So come on over and tell us your scary stories and buy a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
Do that. Definitely do that. The vendor hall is always a great time, man. I haven't seen the full list for this year yet, but last year it was just packed. I mean, everybody there was great. So,
oh, and what an amazing like spread of diversity. Like, it wasn't just cryptid stuff. It wasn't just paranormal. So many amazing artists. I mean, I was just completely blown away by how much like original art was there.
Yeah. One artist I'm super excited about. I'm sorry, Aaron.
No, I was just agreeing. Yeah.
Last year she was there. Her name's Final Girl Graphics. She was just in the vendor hall. Her and her significant other are starting a new Instagram and podcast called Miles, Meals, and Menus, I believe. But it's a cryptid-themed, like, travel around the country to taste different food. Like, different places. I really liked the concept, and the artwork that she has for it is really cool. Oh, it's Miles Mysteries and Menus. That's what it is. But I'm really excited for what she's going to do. I know John Addy is going to premiere a special new art installation that he's doing at Monster Fest. He's sponsoring the event so he could have enough room to set up this special display he's making just for the event.
Ooh.
So I'm interested to see what he has under his hat as well.
That's going to be so cool.
Yeah, I got to admit, so I've been to, you know, the occasional con here and there, and I've always found like the paranormal conventions to be a little bit stuffy, a little snobby, and a little bit elitist. And that is not what I found at Monster Fest at all. It was very grounded. Everybody was very respectful. Everybody was very helpful. It was a completely different crowd of what you'd expect to see showing up at some of these events. So I mean, I can't sing its praises enough. I had an absolute blast, and I can't wait for round two. And some of you might get lucky enough to go on a paranormal investigation with us while we're there.
Ooh.
Ooh.
When you are in town, if you want to go eat at a restaurant that I am certain has some history behind it, downtown Canton, not far from where we're going to be, is a restaurant called Bender's. And it was frequented by the mob. Legit. There was a very heavy mob presence in Canton, Ohio back in the day. It's so fancy. It has marble walls, which were the only thing left standing after it burnt down for the first time. But those walls are original. Some of the woodwork is original. But if you read the history about it, like, some people got knocked off there for sure. But it has amazing food. It's a fancy restaurant. It's very good. But every once in a while we go there, I'm like, this place is well worth the visit.
Okay, so now I'm definitely going to have to stick around Canton for a couple more days.
That's the list. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there's actually... We started looking into it, and there's a lot of interesting oddities in and around Canton. So we're actually going to be staying a couple of days before or after to do some extra investigating if you guys want to join.
Cool.
Aaron, let's talk a little bit more about what's going on for you in particular, what's coming down the pipeline. Because you, as you hinted earlier, like the next chapter in your Dogman series is coming out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's there's stuff I'm working on that's not necessarily mine, but that I'm very excited about. We've got a lot going on in the podcast branch of STM. I do have a new show coming out called House of Monsters that I'm pretty excited for. I think it's going to be cool. I don't know. We'll see what people say. But
well, that's, if you ever need filler, you know, just hit me up.
I probably will. I have a list of, well, I can't go into that. That would spoil something. But yes, that's coming. That's fun. I believe we don't have a release date yet, but it is soon.
Soon,
yeah. And of course, The Lore You Know, hosted by Heather, who you can't talk about STM for more than 30 seconds without Heather coming up, as this conversation is made evident. Mm-hmm. But that show is ongoing. Heather does a tremendous job hosting that. We do have STM Live, which is our weekly live show on Wednesdays, where we take audience questions and discuss whatever release we have going on that week, because we have at least one production coming out every week on YouTube right now, separate from our theatrical releases, which is what we've kind of been talking about today. So there's always something to talk about there. Then, of course, the publishing branch. We have Hunting Grounds coming out this year, which I'm pretty excited about because that means I'm almost done writing it. But then we also have a book from Ron Murphy about Phantom Lights, which I'm very excited about. That's literally all I know about it. I just think Ron's a cool guy, so I can't wait to read it. And then the Ogopogo film that we've been talking about is also a companion, or Courtney might can explain this better than I can, but there's also an Ogopogo book written by Jason Hewlett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, which I'm excited for because it, you know, other than the Dogman stuff, I don't think we've done another book film thing. Well, I know we haven't done another book film thing. So I'm excited to see that. Not formula. It's not a formula, but I'm excited to see both of those mediums attached to another cryptid. It's going to be cool. It'll be really, really cool.
Well, and Aaron, your directing debut is coming up. You've forgotten this.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, it's not just my directing debut. It's also, you've probably directed before, but
I haven't.
Okay.
I just produce.
yours and mine and Heather's directed debut, UFOs Revisited, is coming later this year.
Oh, nice.
That will be a very fun roundtable-ish, not just a roundtable, but it's going to be a deep dive on some UFO cases, that some of which are a little better known, some of which are maybe not so well known. And we've assembled kind of a panel of several people that are going to discuss these cases, and we're going to pick them apart and research them together. And trying to think what else we said on the live stream. Pretty sure that's it. But we've got Ron Murphy. We've got Katie Page, Adam Dugan, Mark Matsky, Micah Hanks, Heather Mosier, of course, and myself. Did I forget anybody, Courtney?
I think that's it.
Seven. Yeah. So we'll be working more on that very soon, actually. We've got some cool stuff coming up.
So.
That is a hell of a list of names. I can't wait for that. And personally, I'm really hoping that y'all are going to dig into the Rendlesham incident.
Stay tuned.
<All right. laughs>
There's quite a few cases we're going to be talking about. I actually had to sit and think for a second, but
Aaron and Heather did an amazing job of mapping out topics, and there are so many. It's actually kind of hard to remember. It's going to be one of our kind of longer mini series. It's going to be like a full season, basically. So,
So that's one of the things that I've really loved about what Small Town Monsters has kind of evolved to in the last several years, is it's gone from, you know, independently produced small documentaries into this massive network of creators. I mean, now, as you said, you now have books under this banner, you have podcasts coming, you have weekly shows, and then on top of all that, you have the theatrical releases that you do. What inspired y'all to branch out in that way?
Well, I don't know Seth's exact motivation. I think basically YouTube was becoming a thing and he's like, we ought to do this. At that point, he'd formed a relationship with Alexander Petikoff, and that's where Bigfoot Beyond the Trail was born. And honestly, it's such good luck that they started that when they did, because if they hadn't, we would be further behind right now. It was like just good luck that we got in at that point and we've built our YouTube following, which is allowing us now to branch out into other things like the books. And soon, very soon this spring, we will have our own FAST channel. So your free ad supported television, like you see on Roku, Peacock, any of those streaming services, you will soon in the spring be seeing Unexplained TV by Small Town Monsters, where we're going to have our own 24/7 streaming channel with all of our content and content that we've curated. We're going to like try and do fun themed things, like Werewolf Wednesday will forever be in our hearts. So we're going to try and do that sort of thing. And we'll be able to do marathons. The thing with those channels is you have to have so many hours of content to make it work. And fortunately, through all of our YouTube stuff, our movies, and then podcasts included, we've hit that mark. And with the amount of new content we have every month, we're going for it. So hopefully everybody likes that, because that is going to do so much for our company to be able to do more stuff and diversify, because it seems like different audiences go to different places. So being able to have a place where it's like, all right, we can throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, and hopefully people like it.
You'll get a lot of positive feedback from it. Every cryptid nerd is just going to be like going nuts whenever that happens. So I know I will.
Because there are a few, just speaking from a consumer standpoint, there are a few like paranormal themed stream channels like that. I don't seem to like any of them. And maybe there are good ones that I haven't watched yet, but the ones I've seen just don't seem good.
No. Most of them are garbage. No, it's very much like the A&E or travel channel type of, like, you know, dramatic music. Did you hear that? it's a demon, you know.
Yeah, it's like a 3-point narrative.
Everything's a demon. Everything's a demon.
Everything.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. And I mean, it is going to have some of our YouTube content on it. It will have our movies on it, though, as well. So stuff that you can't get on YouTube. And the dream is to, before too long, have exclusive content for that channel. So we're really excited to see what we can do with it in the next few months to a year.
It's going to be awesome. Is there any estimate on the launch for that?
Right now, we're being told spring. We've been working with a company already for 2 months to build the channel because there's a lot of technical things. But we do already have a lot of it done. We are currently pitching to the different platforms to get on there, and we have our schedules built. So it's just a matter of, you know, kind of getting the last of the technical side built. But they're telling us spring is a reasonable time to expect it.
That's fantastic. And just a reminder to all of our listeners, all of the things that we've been discussing here, with the exception of the projects that haven't already come out, you'll find links for all of this in the show notes. So please be sure to go check them all out. And we're going to stick everything on there, not just Kickstarter, but the main website. Bring me all the links. We'll get them all on there.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I appreciate you guys taking the time to come and hang out with me for a little bit today.
Yeah, this is great.
No, this is great for me, because normally, like, the podcast is, like, it's laborious. I have to do, it's a lot of work.
It can be.
So it always makes me happy when I have guests that I can be like, cool, I don't really have to steer the ship today. Awesome. That's fantastic. But yeah, no, you guys are going to help me kick off season 4 here. So this will be great.
Well, congrats on 4 seasons, dude.
Yeah. It's been a journey. I was trying to get that Uinta series out to close out season 3, but the editing process for that has turned into like a month-long nightmare after, you know, hundreds of hours of audio to go through. So,
my God, dude.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I had cameras and mics running for the entire 5 days that we were out in Uinta, and still going through.
This is why I don't do extensive field work. I don't want to. I respect and admire that you can do that, because I can't.
I have coffee. Dang. I have a lot of coffee. But we did get a really wicked shot of a flying saucer, and I will send that to you a little bit
later. Oh, please do.
Yeah.
Please.
It was one of those, like, we didn't even realize that we got it until we were reviewing everything once we got back. And we zoomed in, like, that's no bird. That's no plane. Sure as hell ain't Superman.
That's cool, saucer. Dude. Yeah. Dang. I did forget to mention one thing. We also have Alexander Petikoff's new series, Strange Places, coming out. That's going to be very, very cool.
What's the focus on that?
So Alex is taking a break from the Bigfoot stuff. And
he's alternating.
Let me rephrase that. He's applying his expertise beyond the borders of Bigfoot in addition to. And he's doing just different areas where things are strange, looking at history and phenomena. And I don't know a ton of details on the series yet. We talked about it on the live stream last night, and I don't want to potentially spoil anything, but that's going to be very, very cool. I think a lot of us are very, very excited about that.
And the first episode is coming out super soon. He just said that.
Yeah, I don't know.
February 25th.
Okay, cool.
And that'll be on the YouTube.
Okay, just wanted to check. All right.
Yeah.
And again, we'll have the link for the Small Town Monsters YouTube page as well. Definitely do not miss out on that. There's tons of content on there.
Well, and with our content, if you ever want to see anything before it comes out on Sunday, we do have a membership that we call our squad that you get to see everything on Wednesday, then ad-free and in 4K, where everybody else gets to then see it Sunday afterwards in 1080, and there's ads on it. So if you ever want to skip all that, you can join our squad and get stuff early.
You can.
I do that on occasion, actually. Every once in a while, I sign up, but, you know, as this goes, sometimes it's like, okay, now I got to take a break for a few months. I'll come back, though.
I feel you, man. Yeah. Yep. My Patreon list is a long succession of pauses and unpauses. I feel you there.
Right here. Yeah. Same.
Life be happening. No. Right.
This is fantastic. It's looking like this is going to be a great year all the way around. I'm stupid excited for all the content that you guys have coming down the pipeline. This sounds like it's going to be a banger of a year. We got the festival, we've got the channel, we've got new movies coming out. I mean, good God, you people are really going for it.
Two or three movies that we haven't talked about that aren't tied to the Kickstarter that are coming out. So I know we have Tyler Hall, who is a newer filmmaker that just started working with us. He's doing, right now, he's filming about Phantom Lights to
That's
go.
Right, Tyler's series. I knew I was forgetting.
Later on, he's pitched two other movies that we are going to try to make happen, which will be premiering on YouTube and then also streaming services at the same time. And we have Eli's got a couple things he's working on. So, I mean, it's definitely a big year, and that's the goal, really, is we want to be able to do more and more every year to, you know, provide good entertainment, but also grow the business. Cause at this point, the only way we can keep going is to keep growing. And then we get to incorporate more people, which then adds diversity to our content and kind of makes it more interesting for everybody watching as well.
You have enough projects lined up that you're having trouble keeping track of them. That is a great problem to have. Just saying. Yeah.
as the business manager, I really should have them all memorized. But this is it's a big year for us. And fortunately at this point, I have people like Adam Dugan, who's working with me behind the scenes. Him and I are kind of co-heading a lot of the business end of stuff. And then Seth is primarily running the creative side of stuff with Heather helping him do all the research, and writing is done by Heather and Aaron combined at this point. So it's nice to have more cooks in the kitchen to just help alleviate a lot of the pressure and make sure that everything is getting the attention that it needs.
Yeah, it does take a lot of people to make something as ambitious as what you guys have happening come to fruition. So I applaud you all for your dedication to it. It's definitely, like, as a viewer, it's been a wild ride to watch this grow and evolve. To see the skills from, like, the earlier documentaries all the way up to now, it's just mind-blowing, the evolution you guys have gone through.
It's been a lot of practice. I mean, I've only been on as a cinematographer for 2.5-3 years now, because we all wear multiple hats. I'm the business manager, I'm producer, cinematographer, I do the shipping, I run the website, it's whatever. But you learn so much, and our director of photography, Zach, is very good about helping and then kind of mentoring. And then we also get new cool things to work with every once in a while. Like you mentioned your gimbal that you've been using. We got a DJI cinema camera right before we went to Alaska. So now we get that we get to take on boats and helicopters. And when we were in Alaska, I was hanging out of a helicopter with this giant heavy camera trying to get shots of the scenery down below us. So it's really cool to learn to do that stuff.
See, I think I'm actually at a point that I have to cut off equipment. I have to stop. I just it's already eaten my entire savings, which that's not really the problem. But being a field investigator, I've come to the realization that, like, I have to have somebody else handle the equipment, because if I don't, I'm going to miss everything that's happening right in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that is, I think, the boon of having a couple people on screen, like Seth or Alex or Mark, and then you have me and Zach bumbling behind you in the dark trying to shoot it, because then they don't have to worry about the cameras. That's us just trying not to trip and fall on our faces.
Yeah, I'm taking cues from you on that, actually. I'm kind of in the process of trying to build that little field team. Like, here, mm-hmm. You're on camera duty. Bye.
Well, and then you get someone on a camera that knows what they're doing and yep. is able to pick up the audio properly, because I also got given the audio hat. So over the last year and a half, I've learned how to run our on-camera audio, which is been a little bit of trial and error, but I think we're getting there finally. But that's all really hard to do, especially when you're out in the woods and it's dark and there's wind and there's trees and there's leaves on the ground. Any of those sounds could be mistaken for something that you're looking to hear. But in the end, just the mic settings were weird and you're picking up someone walking.
Yeah. Or the only thing you can pick up is the one guy who's standing at this very specific area and you can hear every nostril hair when he breathes.
You know, I won't say that's where my luck. Or who, but recently we were on a shoot and the mic setup I use, I can get two mics sent to my camera and I can monitor the audio for both of them. It's like right ear and left ear. Mm-hmm. And I was monitoring a really interesting conversation, interview. It was great. The other mic, the person was just belching. a lot. Luckily, those audio tracks are separate, but in the moment, I was losing my mind.
Oh, God, that's the worst. Open offer on the table. If you guys ever need any crew work out in the field, don't ever hesitate to drop me a line. If I'm nearby, I'm happy to come and help. And I've got plenty of experience on film sets. So.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Aaron, I've been wanting to get together with you and actually go out into the field for a while. And we're going to make that happen sometime in the near future. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm finally getting to where baby care is not, what am I saying? It's not easier at all. But he's a little older now. And so some things are a little more possible than they were a year ago. So.
And how is the little one, by the way?
He's good, man. Yeah, he's great.
He's great. He comes on and he runs a lot of our meetings and he has cute things to say.
Yeah. Yes, he does show up for a lot of our crew meetings when his nap times do not happen as planned. It's like, all right, I guess you're sitting in on this call with Daddy today. Let's do it.
And but then no, everybody just talks to Ezra for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it really derails the whole conversation. But no, he's great. He's the best thing ever.
But by the time he hits a teenager, he's going to become just like us when we were there, like all obsessed with the weird stuff. So
that's kind of what I'm
parenting.
Hoping.
You're doing it right.
That's kind of what I'm hoping. Ideally, he can just live off of my book earnings for the rest of his life. That's such a preposterous idea. But and he'll just be like the heir to whatever nonsense I do before I die. But we'll see what he wants to do with his life. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come and hang out with me today and kind of give us a preview of what to expect from Small Town Monsters in 2024. I know that I'm very excited about it. I mean, aside from the events, the shows, the movies, like, it's just, it's so great to see people that I have a lot of faith and respect for grow the way that you all have. So I'm very, very happy about this, and I cannot wait for Okapogo.
Same. I'm right, thanks for having us, dude.
Absolutely. So be sure to check out all of the links in the show notes for everything that we've talked about here today. And Courtney, thank you again so much for considering using XV Planus as a launching pad. We're always happy to have you. Aaron, you always have a home here anytime you want, brother.
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure to be here.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Join us next week for the next installment in our You Into series, where we'll discuss the first half of our Boots on the Ground investigation. And don't forget to tune in on March 21st for another special bonus episode where I'll be hanging out with Rich Haddam to talk about his new podcast, Richard Haddam's Paranormal Bookshelf. In the meantime, if you're craving more XV Planus, consider donating to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/XVPlanus. Where you'll gain access to exclusive content. There's a whole other separate series on there, as well as extended interviews, exclusive episodes with special guests, and much more. A sincere thank you to all subscribers who support the show and donate to the Patreon. You are awesome, and I can't express just how much every little bit helps to make this show happen a little bit easier. Don't forget to follow us on Blue Sky, Twitter, no, I am not calling it X, Instagram, Threads, Facebook, everywhere as XV Planus, and you can follow my personal misadventures and music projects at Folds and Floods on those same platforms. Links for both are in the show notes as usual. If you like what we do here, head on over to iTunes or Spotify to rate and especially review us, and tell your friends about us, tell your families about us, hell, yell at random people in election lines about us. We are a DIY independent production, and the only way that we will grow is by you sharing us with others who might enjoy taking this trip down many a rabbit hole with us. Be sure to check out all the great shows on the Green Mushroom Podcast Network, like Lux Occult, Unearthing Paranormalcy, and more. You can check them out by going to www.greenmushroomproject.com and add that to your bookmarks to keep up with the network in the future. If you're a fan of this show, you'll likely be fond of many of the series you'll find there, as well as some pretty epic crossovers of XV Planus with other podcasts. The show is produced in the Black Lodge, wherever that resides in this particular moment of time and space, and is written, edited, and scored by yours truly. Music for the show can be found on my Bandcamp page for Folds and Floods or anywhere you stream your music. No part of this show or its music may be reproduced without consent. Copyright Folds and Floods Productions. Once again, I am your host, Flood. This has been XV Planus. Thank you for being a part of the journey so far. And I'll see you in the between. In abumbratio, in fluctus, sub velo.